welcome. Aha, or should I say yee-haw, because I, Alan Partridge, am broadcasting live from Las Vegas, US of A, stateside. I promise you tonight we have a real half-pound cheeseburger of a show for you. And it's a cheeseburger that contains lots of meaty chat, a salad of wit, and a flap of amusing cheese. All held together by my sauce of tomato ketchup, or you here in the States, tomato catsup. That's what you say. Now, for those of you listening beneath the Star Spangled Banner who haven't heard of me, I'm a sort of an English Johnny Carson. And for those of you listening beneath the Union Jack, I'm Alan Partridge. Now, tonight, for various reasons, my producer and American co-producers here in Vegas thought it would be a good idea if I had an American co-host. And that's great. It's a good idea. I agree with it. So, to that end, please welcome my co-host, or shall I say hostess. Perhaps I shouldn't say hostess, because that, in England, is a whore. And she's not a whore. She's not a whore. Nevertheless, she's the sort of woman that you wouldn't mind paying cash to be with, because she's so beautiful and lovely. Please welcome supermodel Kendall Ball. Right. Knowing me, Alan Partridge, knowing you, Kendall Ball.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Great to be in Vegas, okay?
Right. Fantastic, Kendall. It's swell, or in English, great to have you on. Great to have you on my show.
Well, it's great to be on the show, Alan.
My show. Now, in case anyone listening doesn't know who you are or what you look like, I'll describe you to the listeners. Now, she's very beautiful.
No, please, Alan. My face. I have these sticky out ears that look like Prince Charles. I hate them.
Come on, you don't look like Prince Charles.
Well, I hate them.
His Royal Highness is someone who I share many of his beliefs, and I agree with a lot of what he says, but he's a deeply ugly man. Don't. You're lovely. You've got a lovely little beauty spot there.
Wow, this is a mole, Alan. It's awful.
Yeah, I don't like using the word mole. It's not a mole.
It is. I'm going to have it removed.
It's not a big fat mole with a tuft of wiry hair growing out. You know, to describe you, basically, what you're wearing, you look like $1 million. Your legs go right up to your armpits. Not literally. That would be hideous. So, remember. Remember, please, to listen to me and look at her. Don't get it the other way round, please. That would be awful. Okay. Our first guests are a married couple. In fact, they're one of Hollywood's star couples.
She is the daughter of legendary star Mamie Langland and sister of the equally legendary star Laura Langland. And, of course, is a superlative singing star in her own right.
And he is a British actor, gentleman star, who first twinkled his bright talent in the Hollywood galaxy 40 years ago when he starred in the film Little Lord Fauntleroy.
So please give a glittering reception to Sally
Hoff. I say that. Sally Hoff and Conrad Knight. Knowing me, Alan Partridge.
Knowing me, Kendall Ball.
Knowing us, Alan Partridge and Kendall Ball. Knowing you, Sally Hoff, and husband, Conrad Knight. Aha.
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 Now, if I, Sally Hoff, and husband, Sally.
Hi.
Lovely Sally.
Hello, Alan. Hello, Kendall.
Oh, it's lovely to meet you, Sally.
Thank you.
I've admired your work for many years.
Oh, Kendall, that is such a lovely thing.
Right, lovely.
That's beautiful. Lovely to see you.
Isn't Sally terrific?
Yes, she's lovely, yes. Sally, you are daughter of the legendary Mamie Langland,
right.
Sister of the legendary Laura Langland.
Uh-huh.
Now, she is so busy, isn't she? She's
wonderfully busy. I'm very proud of Laura.
Hectic schedule. She's certainly... I know for a fact she's working tonight.
and,
as is Carly Simon, Liza Minnelli, Barbara Streisand, all working tonight. But you are available. That's the important thing. You're here. Well, now, what was it like growing up in a famous family? Must have been marvellous.
Alan, it was magical. I had a fairy tale childhood.
With your mother, Mamie Langland. I love those films she
I'm
made.
I'm so happy. Good.
Sally, tell us about your mother's alcoholism.
Oh, come on, come on. I don't want to sully the memory of her mother was a fine, wonderful musical actress. I don't want to think about her mother as some drunken woman wandering around Sunset Boulevard in her bare feet with a mascara running down her face, directing traffic, holding a bottle of gin in her hand. I want to think of her sitting on a haystack and singing Hopscotch Girl in a pink dress.
Well, yes, it was a very private problem. I've written a book about it, that's all there is to say.
Conrad, you published your autobiography, Agent in L.A.,
A Gent in L.A.
published in 1979, which had very bad reviews. There was a particularly bad one in Spy magazine. It simply changed one of the words of the title of your book. They changed the first two letters of the word gent.
Yes.
And left the last two.
Yes.
So it was something in L.A.
Yes. I immediately sued Spy magazine. Mm.
Sadly, he lost the case.
Mm. In fact, you set a legal precedent because you're one of the few people who can now be referred to in print as that thing.
Yes.
Without fear of litigation.
That's absolutely right, John. But no other medium, just print.
Just print. So I couldn't call you that.
No, but you could fax me.
Right. Or indeed, scribble it down on a piece of paper and hold it up to your face.
That would be perfectly legal. And people do that.
Conrad, can I ask you about the McCarthy era? It was a very sticky patch in your career. I wonder if you could illuminate it for us.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a sticky patch. It was a time when one had to stick to one's principles, and I did.
It was because at the time you were under a lot of pressure, as were many people, and you were called before the House Committee of Un-American Activities.
Yes, I was.
Before Senator Joseph McCarthy. Very intimidating man.
He certainly was.
And I remember hearing the tape. He asked you, he said, will you name any people who you knew to be members of the Communist Party? And you said...
Humphrey Bogart. Charles Chaplin, Arthur Miller, Elijah Zapp, John
Huston, well
John
done.
Ford,
well
Fincham.
Charlie Chaplin especially, I heard about him being a communist, and whenever I watch those films like Gold Rush, you know, and see him walking along, that walk seems sinister somehow. The walk seems to be saying,
yes.
Be a communist. You did the series of dinosaur films, didn't you?
Yes.
Now, they were rubbish, weren't they?
Well, Alan, one of them won an Oscar.
Yeah, best use of an animated dinosaur.
Well, I've done better work, of course.
But have you?
Well, I have my business interests.
Would you want to tell us about those? What are your business interests?
Conrad Knight Socks.
What's that?
They're very distinctive socks.
Knight socks.
They have a special kind of crest. It's Conrad's historical family crest, which I designed myself.
Conrad Knight socks.
Hang on a second, you're advertising.
Conrad Knight.
All right. Put a Conrad Knight sock in it. Shut up! Now, 1991 was an annus horribilis for you two, wasn't it? Conrad, you had a massive heart attack.
Sally, that was a terrible year for you as well. You had a total nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your nerves collapsed completely, didn't they?
How did you cope?
Kendall, it was very tough. The important thing is that what we experienced then was a tremendous outpouring of love and emotion.
Yes.
From friends and fans.
Beautiful.
We have a letter here. May I read this letter?
Please do read the letter.
This
is it
the
long?
Letter. Very, very brief. and very beautiful. It's a letter that was from a little old lady in Updike, Massachusetts, specifically about Conrad's illness, and it simply says this. It says, "Dear Conrad and Sally, I have heard that Conrad is very ill. I do not know either of you, but I know your work, and I value you. I feel as though I love you both. I have very little left to live for, and if you die, I will have nothing. Please, Conrad, don't die. And it's just a very beautiful letter, and it was the kind of thing that..."
And I wrote back to her, and I wrote, "Dear old lady, thank you for your terrific and moving letter, and we love you. Please, don't die." And I enclosed with the letter a pair of Conrad knives to cheer her up.
It was a lovely gesture.
Did she write back?
No, she died.
Why? Why do people have to die?
The important thing is that it's a wonderful thing. I think we should wind up now.
No, this is... You're listening to Alan Partridge. This is a beautiful moment of emotional outpouring. This is a transatlantic sea of tears that you're hearing now on Radio 4. Over to you, Kendall.
I believe that you two have a little surprise for Alan.
We do, Campbell. We'd like to sing a little song for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
And that be more right? of a surprise, Alan. You're going to sing with us.
Oh, yeah.
I can't sing.
Yeah.
Now. Okay. Mates, you're putting me off.
That's
the town
right.
where I belong.
Oh,
you can bet, oh yeah, you bet, on Vegas. The only town to move me to song. I have seen the best. North, south, east and west. From Shanghai to Timbuktu. That's quite far away.
In Vegas.
And I'm at home in Vegas too. Thanks for being on Knowing Me and Knowing You. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, would you all know...
I start. Knock, knock! Alan!
Alan who?
Alan Partridge. Now, you've probably guessed, I'm not a comedian.
But our second guest most definitely is. Now, he learned his comedy skills in the Catskills. He's got belly laughs in the Borscht Belt, and every time he comes to Las Vegas, he's a surefire comedy winner.
Twice this week, I've shouted, book him! once when I was commentating on a football or soccer match, as you say, and Stuart Pearce committed a particularly nasty foul, and I shouted, "Book him!" The second time was when I was having a meal last night in the Hotel Carvery, and I saw a very talented New York Jewish comedian, and I shouted, "Book him!" His name is Bernie Rosen, so please welcome Bernie Rosen! Knowing me, Alan Partridge.
Knowing me, Kendall Ball.
Knowing us, Alan Partridge and Kendall Ball. Knowing you, Bernie Rosen, aha.
Aha, yeah, knowing me, but obviously not in the biblical sense. Though we live in hope, eh, Kendall?
Sure.
Who are these people here? You know, they all look so depressed, you know. I mean, that's the thing about Vegas. You know, we Jews, we've lost so much money here in Vegas. We call it Oy Vegas. Yeah. Woman over there, you know, look at that lady there. She looks like she's just got here from a funeral, you know, her own.
Bernie, yeah. I noticed the way you came in was like full of confidence and spasm. Is your comedy a sort of defense mechanism?
No, can we just, I don't want to get too heavy. Look, Bernie,
yeah.
Who is your favorite comedian?
Well, I suppose I gotta say Milton Boyle, you know.
Who's he?
Well, he's my favorite comedian, you know.
Right. Who's your favorite British comedian that people in Britain might have heard of?
I'm sorry, Alan. You know.
Tommy Cooper?
No.
Tommy Cooper?
No,
come on, he did tricks badly, you know. He died at the Palladium.
Alan, I'll tell you something. We've all died at the Palladium, you know.
What's your favourite situation comedy?
My marriage is my favourite sitcom, you know. We're on to our 22nd series. The ratings are terrible, you know. And the good news is they're writing my wife out of the next series.
Really, I'm sure you're a very funny man. But you never answer the question. I don't know what you're talking about.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, you should hear my cousin Morris, the Latvian accountant.
Will you just answer the question?
No, Alan.
What's your favourite sitcom?
The Golden Girls.
Right. Mine is Robin's Nest. It was brilliant, actually. Richard O'Sullivan ran this restaurant, and it really was chaos. It was, and the man who did the washing up only had one arm. When you think about it, it's ridiculous. Needless to say that plenty of plates got broken, and Robin got annoyed. It was very funny. Now, let's move on. Let's not beat about the bush. You are a Jew.
Oh, Alan, hey, you said you wouldn't tell anybody. The secret's out.
What do you mean? Everyone knows.
No, I was joking.
All right, you were very funny last night.
Yeah, well, you know.
You see, in Britain there's a rich stream of Jewish comedy. There's all the famous ones: Shylock, Fagin, Topol, Maureen Lipman in the British telecom ads, which depicts modern Jews accurately and hilariously. But of course, there are different kinds of Jews, aren't there?
Oh, sure, yeah, sure, Alan. You know, we got conservative Jews, we got reform Jews, liberal Jews, orange Jews, apple Jews.
Now, apple Jews. What are they?
No, Alan. That, you know, it's a joke, Alan. It was Jews. You know, it sounds.
Did you do that joke in your act?
No, I wrote it for tonight. Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't have bothered.
Bernie, could I ask you a question?
Keep it light.
How do you deal with anti-Semitism in your profession?
Oh.
Could I answer that?
I don't want to get into this whole dangerous area of anti-Semitism. Look, please, Bernie, for God's sake, please, tell us a joke about Jews.
Okay, Anya, I'll tell you a Jewish joke. I said to my wife, Ida, how come you never tell me when you orgasm? And she said to me, Boyne, it's because you're never there. You know, when I orgasm, recognize him. You're never there. You know,
Hang on. Oh, yes, yes!
Yeah. Oh, yeah! Okay, we have contact, okay.
I've got a great joke about Jews.
Okay.
Did you hear about the Jewish hotel keeper? He kept a fork in the sugar bowl, for goodness sake.
Alan, that's not a Jewish joke.
No, Alan, that stereotypes Jewish people as being mean.
Well, I wouldn't want to say you were mean. I mean, in fact, I noticed when I met you tonight, the very first thing you did when we met in the bar, you went and bought me a drink, and I remember you did that, and I thought, yes,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, Alan. That's very nice of you, Alan, but the important thing is not to generalize. You know,
yeah.
I've just met you. You're the only person I know from where are you from? Norwich?
Norwich.
Yeah, and just knowing you, I'm not going to think that everyone in Norwich is...
stupid.
People aren't stupid in Norwich.
I wasn't saying they were stupid.
No, let me nail this ghost to the coffin once and for all. Norwich people are not stupid. Let me tell you something. Let me tell this American audience something. In Britain, we have centres of excellence. Oxford, Cambridge and Norwich.
Sure.
And people in Norwich are different. Living in Norwich is not just a way of life. Norwich is an attitude. And I will not have that kind of prejudice thrown upon me from someone like that. To disgrace. Thank you very much for your interview. You were so funny last night.
Do I go now?
Yeah, give him a round of applause.
Bernie Rosen, ladies and gentlemen! Bernie! Woo-hoo!
Our final guest tonight is not so much famous as infamous.
He's known throughout Las Vegas as one of the biggest high-rolling gamblers of them all.
Rianne Nouveau-Plou.
Place your bets.
The dice are loaded.
Stick or twist.
Two fat ladies, 88. Legs 11. 11. All these words are music to his ears.
Please welcome Mr.
Please welcome Mr. Risky Business himself, professional gambler, Jack the Black Cat Colson.
Woo!
Knowing me, Alan Partridge.
Knowing me, Kendall Ball.
Knowing us, Alan Partridge and Kendall Ball. Knowing you, Jack the Black Cat Colson. Aha.
That's just about the longest introduction I ever had. Aha, I thought you never going to finish it.
Jack, I believe that you have played poker with Telly Savalas.
Loved you, baby.
Tess Vass, she's a real keen poker player. He heard I was in Vegas. He was shooting some film here. He said, Jack Blackcat, hand you one play a bit of poker. High stakes.
Yeah.
Book him, Dano. Murder one.
No, pal. That's Y-5-0.
Wrong.
Tell him to say that.
Okay.
Anyhow, Terry comes up to my hotel room. I say, Terry, you want to play a little bit of Texas Hold'em? You know Texas Hold'em?
Yeah.
Deal comes. Mm-hmm. Telly's got a pair of kings. I got bullets in the hole, aces.
Oh.
Now, I don't know. I figure I'm going to get Telly all in here.
Ooh.
Flop comes, deuce, tray, five. Ain't no use to neither of us.
Right. Wow.
Telly raises the max. I call. Street comes turn.
Whoa.
Guess what happens? Four club comes down there. I just made me an inside straight. Hit middle pin.
Whoa-wee.
Telly says to me, well, what you got, Jack Black?
Oh.
So I flip over my aces. I say, Telly, I got bullets.
You shot Telly Savalas.
No, Alan, bullets, it's slang for aces.
It's funny, though, isn't it, that his name's Telly Savalas and he's on the telly.
So funny.
It's a bit like me being called Radio Partridge. Of course, it's not that funny when you think about it, because there was Radio Caroline, isn't it? The name.
Jack, tell us about your famous roulette system. You've been practicing it since the age of six.
Think about roulette. Anyone out there listening to this, you don't want to play roulette. Sucker's game, see? You get all these people, they fly over to Vegas, they say, hey, I got some big shot roulette system. Only a sucker's got a roulette system.
I've got a roulette system.
You want to tell me about it?
I've got a foolproof system.
Uh-huh.
I developed it when I was coming over on the plane, club class. And I've tried it out several times now in my imagination, and it works every time.
I can believe it.
This is how it works, right? But it's like the toss of a coin. Look, if I toss a coin and it's heads, the next time I toss it, it's bound to be tails.
Nope, it's 50-50 every single time. That coin ain't got a brain, ain't got consciousness. Don't matter what's going on around the coin. Coin just does what the hell it wants to, a bit like yourself, Alan.
Well, I bet you any money that if I put my system into practice, it would work. I bet you.
Well, I may just have to take you up on that little bet, Alan.
Well, you could just take me up on
well,
that.
Well, I may just do
well,
that.
You could do it if you want.
Well, I may just do it.
Do it.
Watch yourself, Alan.
Hang on. If
he knows what he's doing. You want to make a bet?
I think that your Texan belly's going a little bit yellow.
Well, yes. Let's do it, Al. $1,000.
$1,000.
Let's do it, Al.
Yeah, $1,000.
Call.
Tails.
What's that?
Tails, yes! $1,000 to me.
Check? You don't want me to make check payable to?
Make it payable to Great Ormond Street Hospital.
Well, you want to raise the stakes a little bit, Alan? Put it up to $5,000?
Yeah, give $5.
No.
No?
No, $10,000.
$10,000.
Yeah.
I like the way you're speaking, Alan.
$10,000.
$10,000.
Yeah.
Call.
Heads.
What's that?
Heads, yes! $10,000. Live from Las Vegas, it's Alan Partridge, just won $10,000 of supposedly the greatest gambler who's ever lived.
A little check here payable to Great Ormond Street.
No, just
Hospital.
Leave that blank off the line. Thanks for being on the show, and thanks for being so gracious
in your
humiliating defeat.
Well, you know me, Alan, don't matter to me. I lose $11,000, have a little bit of fun. I still drive home in my brand new $140,000 red Mercedes sports car.
Really?
Just drive on home in Mercedes sports car.
Well, here's the big question, buddy boy.
Alan, don't even think about it.
How do you fancy betting your $140,000 worth of German hardware against £20,000 worth of pure maroon Ford Granada sport?
You got it, Alan. Call.
Tails.
What's that?
Heads.
Give me the keys, Alan.
No, you can't.
Give me the keys, Al.
That's my car.
Give me the keys, Al.
That's my car. You can't.
Just give me the keys.
Best out of three.
Best out of three, Al. You took a bet. Just give me the keys.
Can I have a chance to win it back?
What you got, Al?
Do you know what a Nissan Micra is?
It's in a little Japanese car.
It's a Japanese hatchback.
I don't want that.
I have access to one.
It's my wife's
car.
Alan, don't do that.
Don't powder your nose, babe.
Ooh, big boy.
Come on, please.
Partridge. Nissan Micra.
Yeah.
Go. Car.
Sales.
What's that?
On that bombshell. Double vehicular loss for Alan Partridge in Vegas. It's time to say... I can't say it. You do it, Kendall.
Well, you have been knowing us, Kendall Ball and Alan Partridge. Knowing you, Jack the Black Cat Coulson, Bernie Rosen, Conrad Knight, and Sally Hawk. Thanks for our team of researchers, David Schneider.